fucking ridiculous.
Second of all, when I came home from...
Why don't you respond to an email?
Second of all...
Virtual reality.
Hi, I'm Danny Murphy.
And I'm Evan Real.
And Evan, I don't want you to rot in hell, but I know the vibes between Jax and Brittany are sort of giving that old fight, but apparently that fight is nothing to what has been happening recently between the two of them.
Okay, so Brittany said that she hit her breaking point after a specific fight that she had with Jax. She said this on Watch What Happens Live.
You know, they always say, like, a woman can hit her breaking point, and then it's, like, hard to come back from that.
She said the fight was specific, but she wasn't super specific about what the fight was about, but she said that the veil was lifted and she basically saw what she needed to see to let her know to get the hell out of the relationship and book an Airbnb where she is still staying very happily.
Points. Actually, I don't know if Airbnb has points, but I'm happy she's comfortable. I feel a lot of Vanderpump fans are sort of like confused and curious because what could be the breaking point for being married to Jax Taylor? Because he's been... I feel his cards have been exclusively on the table for forever, ever. So I feel like either, like, Britt just was kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore, or something very, like, unheard of happened.
Yeah, because if you look back on the history of Jax and Brittany, there's the cheating on Brittany with Faith, which ultimately became Rotten Hail.
The voice memo. Yes.
Right. The voice memo. Then there was kind of the, like, coercing her to get a boob job. Like, there's just been so much that has happened in the decade that these two have been together. You would have thought that Brittany would have hit her breaking point, but I guess she's just a very strong girl. You know, she sustained a lot for a good amount of time, and finally she was done with it.
That's Southern strength, which we love. And I mean, while we don't know what Brittany was referring to, something tells me Jax will let us know, because he... isn't the best at keeping secrets or any of his opinions to himself. Because did you see that clip going around of him at his bar, like, kind of having spoken word poetry night about Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, I was really confused watching the clip because it was a heated tangent about how Vanderpump Rules is fake and scripted, and it just wasn't stopping, and no one was really interacting with it. It was like literally just him, like, leaning back on the mic at his bar. By the way, this was Jax's in Studio City, which I am not too far from right now here in LA. I've been there before. It's actually really cute. It's a great place to hang, and it looked like he was just hanging, having a watch party of Vanderpump Rules, which then went into a new episode of The Valley, because he was like, Vanderpump Rules is so big. I did the show for 9 years. Everything is scripted. I actually make a cameo on this week's episode, and that scene was scripted. But The Valley, that is real. And then he said something about, like, it's real because we're all new people and we're all struggling, which, like,
huh?
I mean, yeah, I feel like this friend group is certainly struggling.
Struggle City.
Peace, yeah.
Everyone's getting divorced or having separation issues, and Dodie's involved. So everyone is struggling to get on top. But it is funny how he is shitting on Vanderpump Rules when that's kind of what leads into The Valley. And also all of his friends are on the show, and also it's where he came from. And I mean, he's working for Bravo actively, so I'm confused. He has to know someone probably was filming during this. You know what I mean?
Oh, so I feel like he was definitely performing. Like, he was performing for his audience. But that's a really good point. Like, I kind of can't believe that he was so candid in expressing his thoughts when it's, like, literally the same executive producers taking care of The Valley. So you would think that the Vanderpump Rules process is very similar, if not identical, to the process of producing The Valley. I think this is just my assumption and my perception of it all. I feel like Jax Taylor feels like a different human than who he was on Vanderpump Rules. So it probably feels good for him to say, that was fake, that wasn't real, that was scripted. And what you're seeing on The Valley is Jax 2.0, and this is the real me, even though I don't see much of a difference.
I was going to say, it's like when the before and after, I'm like, get your money back from the surgeon, because it's like, the after is the before. So it's, and I mean, entertaining. I don't know if they're is a ton of emotional growth being displayed. So I don't really know what he would be avoiding or hiding from. But I do like you talking about the executive producers, because one of the EPs of Vanderpump Rules is LVP, who's a little bit busy right now because she's not only having Vanderpump Rules cooking, she's over in France in Vanderpump Villa, which we saw the first few episodes. I'm obsessed with it. And we also got to talk to her, and she gave us some juice, Evan.
Oh my God, yeah. It was so fun to chat with Lisa Vanderpump, and it was a really interesting time to talk to her because she does have this new show, Vanderpump Villa, on Hulu. Meanwhile, the drama is heating up on Vanderpump Rules. They just recently filmed their reunion. I do think that Lisa is also involved in the production of The Valley, so she has her hands full sort of overseeing the Vanderpump universe. So we, of course, had to ask her about the Vanderpump Rules reunion. She shared her take on Lala and Ariana not getting along. Lala and Ariana were fighting over Ariana sort of spending time with Sandoval.
The reunion goes like this. You start to understand it a little bit. And then when it comes to the end, you're like, woo. It was like a great ending, a great thought out production-wise of how they kind of showed the last. But you'll see. It's good.
And do you feel at the end of the reunion, we'll understand now why Lala's wasted no time letting the world know about how she feels, R.E., Katie, and Ariana, not really vibing with them at all?
I don't think Lala ever wastes any time letting anybody know what she feels, which is kind of why we like her. I've always been a big proponent of supporting Lala. I
give
think
Lala.
Lala and James Kennedy have just been a great addition to that show.
Do you think that Ariana and Lala have what it takes to mend their friendship? Do you think there is potential for them to make up?
Have you seen how those dynamics change?
And I feel like people are getting a little bit confused about her explanation. So Danny and I kind of want to like break it down. What we think, and Lisa explained to us, that there was a discussion about Tom Sandoval's mental health struggles in the wake of Scandoval when the world was coming down on him. And so he opened up to Lisa about having suicidal ideation, which hit close to home for Lisa because her brother took his own life back in 2018. And so what I think, Danny, and tell me if you agree, I think that Lisa and Lala were speaking out in support of Tom Sandoval. Like, let's extend some grace as he's going through this mental health stuff. And
yeah.
And I think Ariana was not feeling that.
It seems like they were kind of like, I think they also wanted to, because we know how Lala can get. I feel Lala wanted to be like, Ariana, can't you own that that was an awful situation for him? And while he put himself in it, you didn't help it. Am I saying that I agree with that scenario? I'm not on Vanderpump Rules, so no. But I think that's a lot, because even from seeing Lala on this episode, on this season so far, she's kind of starting to have a little bit more compassion for Sandoval. So I feel she wanted Ariana to admit something, and when she didn't, Lala gave her Lala, because LVP also said that Ariana did not eviscerate Lala at the reunion. But a lot of people in watching our interview with her is kind of saying like, oh, is anyone team Ariana besides Katie now?
Yeah, because it kind of felt like Lisa did say she loves Lala. She's a big proponent of always supporting Lala, and she loves Lala for always speaking her mind. And then she did have some thoughts, feelings, and opinions about Ariana choosing to live with Tom Sandoval for a period of time. She did repeatedly mention that booking an appointment to spend time in the kitchen could be a little bit ridiculous. So it seems like LVP might not totally be team Ariana, but she is team entertaining us.
Oh, and that's my favorite team. And who's always on that team? Sometimes accidentally, Jill Zarin. And a vacation Jill Zarin. You think it couldn't get worse than her surprise and everyone asking her to leave? You'd think that would be her vacation from hell? No, actually, well, this actually, I guess, was her vacation of making everybody else be in hell, because her Below Deck cameo, not getting the best reviews.
She was like, just so you know, I used to have it on my boat, the button that we can just have on us, that we can just constantly ping to say we need something.
Yeah, we don't have that on this boat.
Yeah, she was like, you can just get on Amazon. I used to help my bit all the time. I was like, I bet your crew loved you.
But look, here's the thing about Jill Zarin being on Below. Like, this is what you would expect from Jill Zarin on Below Deck. And if she didn't give such a performance, we wouldn't be talking about it and we would be bored. Now, the one clip that is really resonating with me, and I hope it's resonating with you too, Danny, because you and I both, we love Diet Coke. Diet Coke, if you're listening to us, please sponsor a future episode of Virtual Reality, because we love Diet Coke so much. And there really is an art and a science to perfecting one's favorite way to consume.
And there's a panic of when you're not in the States of getting your Diet Coke.
That is very true. That's very, very true. Because in overseas, it's not Diet Coke. It's Coca-Cola Light or Coke Zero, or it's not what we imbibe with here in the States. And so it was important for Jill to have her Diet Coke and have it perfectly prepared with the right amount of ice. Right? It was a nice
right amount of ice. And do you know how many Diet Coke she drinks a day?
I missed that. How many?
Guess.
10.
Yes.
Really? A perfect 10?
10.
Okay.
10 cans of Diet Coke a day.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If I counted it, mine might be 10 a day.
And also, if you let me know how much in a big gulp.
Right. Oh, I love me a big. Wait, what, Danny? What is your favorite way to consume Diet Coke? Are you like a cold can kind of guy?
McDonald's iced coffee. I mean, McDonald's Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Can the little bottle, because then I feel like I'm like Emily Ratajkowski, where I'm like, this is helping me lose weight, and then the plastic. I want that plastic off the sofa. Yeah.
I don't love a plastic bottle. No, I don't. Yeah, I love a cold can. A cute, chic, European looking bottle is great, but fountain is definitely,
with a little lemon wedge too, if you want to be fancy.
Yeah, so good.
But yeah, so she's getting in a lot of heat, and I also am kind of obsessed because people have been screenshotting also, because you know how on Below Deck they send them like the charter breakdown, and then like their request. Can I say hers isn't? The main emphasis is that she just wants Diet Coke.
Tell me all her requests.
So, juice, she wants orange, not fresh. A relatable queen. An American woman. She doesn't drink anything but Diet Coke. Under liquor, she says, I don't drink anything but Diet Coke on the rocks. Gary will drink whatever. But it's interesting because she doesn't drink, but she does like a mudslide with chocolate syrup on the glass. And she said, TGI Fridays makes a great pre-made one with alcohol. She's telling people on like yachts to look for TGI Friday mudslides at a store.
I don't know why people are hating on Jill Zarin, because you talking about Diet Coke and TGI Friday mudslides with extra chocolate syrup, like it's just endearing her even more to me. Like now I can't wait to see whatever show she's working on with Julia Hart.
And my favorite, allergies. She says, I wish I was allergic to sugar.
And now she said it. Now she said it. At least she said it.
But, and also because, and we won't get into all of this, but one of my favorite, the other highlighted part in speaking with her sugar, you know what she has every day at 3 p.m.?
What?
Hot chocolate chip cookies with cold milk. Same.
My dream. This sounds like my dream diet. 10 Diet Cokes a day plus a 3 p.m. milk and cookies moment. Like, come on.
People on yachts, like, they'll request, like, Chandon or, like, you know what I mean, or caviar. She says specifically she doesn't want foie gras. She doesn't want caviar. She doesn't like fancy food. She just wants Diet Cokes, and probably she'll take Entenmann's in the microwave. You know what I mean?
It actually sounds like a pretty easy lift for the Below Deck crew. I feel like they've dealt with worse.
It's either an easy lift or I'm an awful guest everywhere because I'm like, that's my sheet.
Yeah, right. I know. This is, like, kind of telling us a lot about ourselves. Yeah. Like, maybe we need to work on ourselves, Danny.
I mean, we'll never change, but I mean, the only person I think that could get us to change is Dorinda Medley. If she told me I can't bring Diet Cokes to Bluestone Manor, I wouldn't.
I would not either. No, the Queen of Bluestone Manor graced us with some time via Zoom this week. She was promoting her partnership with Clorox, which we love. We love a working woman,
She
but
makes it
of course,
nice.
yeah, she makes it nice. She said that she likes to wipe Bluestone Manor up and down with Clorox because she makes it nice. Other people make a mess. She did mention that of all the housewives who have stayed at Bluestone Manor, Sonia Morgan might be the messiest, which tracks. We love that for Sonia.
But Luann is the cleanest.
Luann is the cleanest. But of course, we had to ask her if she would want to maybe film another season of Roni Legacy Girls Trip at Bluestone Manor. And she had a few fun ideas.
She had a few fun ideas. I think one would get you guys very excited. I know it would get me very excited. Spoiler alert, might make Aaron a little nervous.
Yeah, basically, she was like, I want the new Roni girls to come to Bluestone Manor. She was like, I would love to see how they would fare, which,
Fair.
yeah, I mean, that's intimidating language. But she also said that they could have a cute time there, which was obviously a not so subtle nod to Aaron Leachy's assessment of the Roni Legacy Girls Trip season. Roni Legacy, the girls trip. It was so much fun. The fans were obsessed with it. Would you ever host a girls trip Roni Legacy at Bluestone Manor? You've done the regular girls trip
I
at
just
Bluestone
said
Manor.
that as a interviewer 2 times before. I said I think my dream would to do. There's two ultimate girls trips I would love to do. I think we should do one on a below deck boat.
Oh.
Legacy on the water, I think would be so hysterical with the below deck cast. And I think we should bring the legacy back up to Bluestone Manor because I don't, can I tell you the truth? I don't think they ever did enough up there. And I think we learned that when they did Ultimate Girls Trip 2. I think the great gift of Ultimate Girls Trip 2 was people got to see Bluestone. Peacock filmed it in a totally different way than Bravo. So people got a totally different perspective of what Bluestone Manor was and had because we used it very microly on the show, the on Bravo, but Peacock, they showed you all the outside, and we had, it was, you saw that there was a lot more to offer than just, screaming at each other in a dining room.
And I know, I feel it was the perfect time of year too, where everything was just gorgeous and
I
everyone
don't
was
think
having a
they'd ever
great
been
time
up there that
outside.
time of year. They'd been up
Yeah.
there at Halloween when it's kind of gloomy, or Christmas when it's snowy. So I think there's honest, I really do think, I mean, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but here we go. It's page six. I always felt like they underused Bluestone Manor because it's a film set and it's a character that the audience really did have a mad love affair with. Always.
Totally,
Yeah,
totally.
so
Now,
I think three things should happen. We should have a below deck legacy. We should have a Bluestone Manor legacy, and we should send those new girls up there for a night and see how they fare.
Oh, wait, with
Yes.
you guys there? So just be the
With a
mixing of them
couple
all?
of us, we wouldn't want to overwhelm anybody.
That would be so much fun. Hopefully, it would be a really cute time.
Yeah, exactly. It could be cute.
Yeah.
And then, we were going to have Jersey up there, but unfortunately, the house burned down, so they couldn't make it up. Not my house, thank God, but the house they were staying in burned down.
Remember when the
Gosh.
Jersey girls were going, when like the rumor was they were going to go up to the Berkshires, everyone was like, is Dorinda hosting them? And I
Yes,
do
I was
feel
hosting them. I was doing a whole dinner for them.
oh my God, like for the show?
Yes. And then what happened was 2 days before, the house they were staying in is burnt down.
Oh my God, I'm
Teresa
so
was like,
sad.
it's an almond. I was like, what?
That's so Teresa.
I don't know. Oh my God, we're not coming. It's an omen. We're not supposed to be up there. I think this partnership was so good because, I am all about hosting. I am all about cleaning. I am all about making it nice. But it takes a lot of work in a village to do it. So when this partnership came up, it seems such an easy fit because Len and I are constantly running the house. Like this weekend, for instance, we're going up. I always have like 3 times a week a whole team come. We literally empty out everything, wipe it all down. Now that Len has literally designated a whole place in the laundry room of all our Clorox products, it's like an homage to Clorox at Bluestone Manor now.
I love it. I love it. Now,
She's like,
Dorinda.
yes. It's important for us. It's a real thing. It's not, it is. I mean,
Yeah.
I must say, I always made a commitment to myself. And after Richard died, I said, if I could not keep the house as beautiful as we kept it together, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, part of that is keeping it spick and span, not only for bacteria, viruses and all that, but, you know, you get mice and stuff. As clean as my house is, the house is 120 years old, remember.
So check that out. And also make sure you subscribe to the newsletter, because in tomorrow's send, we're going to let you know why that talked about Real Housewives of New Jersey trip to the Berkshires didn't work out, and the kind of LOL reaction Teresa had about all of the going down. It made Dorinda laugh, and it made us laugh too.
And it made us sad, because Dorinda was supposed to host an on-camera dinner for the New Jersey gals for the show, and then, yeah, a house burned down, and it didn't happen. But she's got the tea, so be sure to subscribe to the newsletter. And also, be on the lookout for an announcement for our next live show at Chelsea Table and Stage on May 16th. Dorinda, she's going to be there, guys, and she's going to make it really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.